This is Crime Binge.
Okay. Now we're recording. That would have been terrible.
We know how to record.
Barely. You would think by now we would know, but not really.
We can handle it.
Welcome to the first ever mini-sode of Crime Binge.
Yeah, this is something new that we are trying.
Yeah, and we don't have listener stories for you yet, but we thought in order to give you more content, it would be fun if we did reviews of like shows, movies, books, things in true crime land that we binge.
Yeah.
Because this is Crime Binge, you know.
So this week, instead of binging separate things, we binge something together.
Well, yes.
Together separately at our own houses.
Yeah.
But this week, we are going to do a review of When They See Us, which is a pretty new show. It came out on May 31st on Netflix.
And it is about the Central Park Five boys, which was a story that I had, like, heard of before.
Yes.
But not, I didn't know a ton about it.
Yeah, like, you know I had heard the name the Central Park Five, but I was like, oh, it's just that five kids that killed a woman, but
yeah,
she didn't even die. Like, I knew nothing.
Yeah, I didn't even know that she survived either, so I was really not up to date with that one. But let's give, like, a rating.
Yeah.
We should do a rating. On a scale, I was going to try and think of a binging scale.
Oh, I was going to say, like, one knife to five knives.
There we go. I feel like because I have a tiny brain, I have to do 1 to 10.
That's
can
fine.
Can we do 1 to 10
we
knives?
We can 100% do 1 to 10. We can do 1 to 100 if you want.
That's too many options. I think that knives are good, by the way. 10 being the best you can be, right?
10 being the best amount of knives.
There we go. That's
and the best amount of likage, of personal, like, is
we'll,
it?
We'll work on okay. it. We can workshop it.
We did not plan any of this out before.
We really didn't.
We're just going to talk about it.
Do you want to watch this show and we'll talk about it? So I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it like an 8.5 to a 9.
Okay.
I will give it 10 out of 10 for that music, though, because the whole soundtrack was fucking great.
See, I was thinking more like an 8.
Okay.
Just because I wanted more. Like, I wanted more from the time they went to jail.
Yeah.
Till they grew up, and there was nothing in there.
Yeah. The only person you really got to see was Corey.
Yeah.
And, which, like, I get why. Because he's the saddest part of this whole story to me.
Like, my heart broke for Kevin because Kevin was so young.
Yeah.
But my heart broke for Corey fucking Wise.
When
Jesus Christ.
I guess we'll just, like, dive right in. But in the first episode, also, by the way, obviously, spoiler warnings. If you don't want to, like, have the show ruined for you, don't listen.
Yeah, like, listen afterwards or listen if you're kind of interested. Don't know if you want to watch it.
Yeah, but we are going to be basically telling everything about the plot. So just be warned.
I was thinking I have, like, a little bit of a summary.
Okay.
That we should, like, start off reading just kind of the summary in case you don't know what it's about.
Sure.
So, it's in 1989, a jogger was assaulted and raped in New York City's Central Park, and five young people were subsequently charged with the crime. They were labeled the Central Park Five, and they maintained their innocence and spent years fighting the convictions, hoping to be exonerated. And then it kind of goes on saying that this series is 4 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like an hour to an hour and a half long, and they go through the incident from spring of 1989 through when they all got out by the end of 2002, and ultimately the settlement reached within the city of New York in 2014.
Yeah. which I guess we'll just start off with the first episode, which is essentially the whole episode probably is the hardest one to watch.
It is.
I would say it was the hardest one for me to watch.
It's full of anxiety ridding.
Yeah. Things. And the whole like brief summary of that is the boys are accused of the crime and are coerced into confessing, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole scheme of it. But that fucked me up so bad watching the police, like, coerce them into confessing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all of the parents who just, like, wanted to protect their children and were like, I'll sign my name. Like, they're saying we'll get out of here.
Oh, no.
And the whole time I was like, ooh, I just hit that. The whole time I was like, don't sign your name, please, for the love of God. Like, I knew what
that
happened.
Was, like,
but
so stupid. I feel like we should start by saying what their names were, just so
oh,
we can
yeah,
talk about
that's
each
true.
Of them. Then there's Antron McRae.
Yes. Yeah.
Who is 15. There's Raymond Santana Jr., who is 15. Yusuf Salam, who's 15. Kevin Richardson, who was 14 and frankly looks like a fucking 8-year-old. And Corey Wise, who had just turned 16.
Can we talk about how, I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty fucking positive that the guy who played Corey as a 16-year-old played him throughout the entire series, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone changed except him.
But, like, he did a great fucking job.
Yes.
Like, he looked and sounded like a 16-year-old, and then when he was an adult, I was like, who is that adult man? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, I think it's because you see his whole, like, not his whole life, but, like, a lot of his life, what happens in prison.
Yeah.
He has to be the same actor for a lot
That's
of the
true.
Stuff.
Yeah. He's the only character who we see their entire time in jail, which is probably for a reason. But in the first episode, this is going to be all over the place because this is just us basically working out how we feel about this show. And so bear with us. Corey actually wasn't on the list that the police were even supposed to bring in for the Central Park Five. His friend Yusuf was, and he went into jail to, like, support his buddy.
Yeah, and just, like, sit in the waiting room.
Yeah, and he ended up being the one convicted of, like, the rape and attempted murder of her.
And, like, the one going to jail because he was 16.
Yeah.
And
he spent the longest in jail.
Yes.
The rest of the boys spent between, like, 6 to 8 years, and he spent 13 years in jail.
Yeah, it's nuts. And, like, they basically just used him as, they had the four boys, and as they were trying to just pull fucking stories out of them and, like, beating the shit out of them, being like, just tell me that you did it, or tell me that this kid did it. Their stories weren't lining up. So they basically just used Corey as a way to try and make their stories go together in some cohesive way.
Yeah. And I think, like, the biggest, because I saw a lot of people who were like, I couldn't watch When They See Us because of the first season, like, the first episode. And I will say, like, I had to pause it a lot. And I think the reason that it's so uncomfortable is because everybody knows that that happens.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, false confessions happen. They happened a lot more because the rules were a lot less, like, they're a lot more lax. But I think that was the most upsetting part, was, like, that part wasn't the dramatization, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, like, and also watching these white cops beat the shit out of 14-year-old and 15-year-old little black and Latino.
Yeah, he was
men.
Puerto Rican, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very upsetting. And they never used, like, the N-word or anything like that, but they did refer to them as, like, animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept using that term, like, throughout the entire process to dehumanize these children. And I was just like, it literally raised my heart rate. infuriated me so much. And side note, the blonde woman who like got the case and was like, we have to pin it on these five kids, essentially. Apparently, I believe it's her, is like suing Ava, however you say her last name, who produced and like wrote this show, I think. I don't know if she wrote it. I know she helped produce it. But they're like suing.
Wow.
Because of the portrayal of her. Yeah, she's just like overall a bad lady.
Yeah, and like,
and she, like, I firmly believe, like they said in the last episode, that she made herself believe that was the story.
Yeah, because, like, the woman who plays the prosecutor, or the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Like, was like, we don't have a case. This isn't true. And then they were like, no, it was just a sixth person.
Yeah.
Like, no, it wasn't.
Which, realistically, how would... like, how would five boys decide they were going to do this thing and then would protect each other so well that they literally could not get, like, any semblance of a story together and didn't know each other?
Exactly.
Like, the boys didn't know each other except for Yusuf and Corey.
Yes. And something else that, like, kind of bothered me... and I know he, like, they wouldn't have believed him, but when Kevin gets hit in the face with the police helmet and he doesn't say anything, he's just like, yeah, the woman scratched me. It's like, that's not a fucking scratch. That's a black eye from getting hit in the head with a fucking helmet.
Yeah, which I think he just, like, was so scared, but also, like you said, they wouldn't believe him.
Yeah.
Because why would the cops who know what a black eye looks like even ask, how did you get that, like, from just a scratch?
Yeah.
It, like, it just doesn't make any sense. Nothing about it really lined up or made any sense to me, personally.
I mean, the whole shebang didn't line up or make any sense.
And the thing, like, that really, really bothered me was there was no DNA evidence to link any of the boys. And, like, a lot of stuff that should have made it so they were not, like, sentenced, but, like, Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
Like, all of those
mic
people.
Drop.
Like, OJ, all of those people who got off on technicalities. Well, OJ actually went to prison, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. But still, like, all of these technicalities that people, like, get away with things, and these, like, boys couldn't.
Yeah. And, well, also, because of that.
Yeah.
Like, the cops... A, either wouldn't let their parents in the room or never called their parents or asked their parents to leave or threatened their parents. Like, Antron McRae, they basically, like, told his dad that if he didn't have his son confess, that they were going to tell his boss that he had a felony on his record and he was going to lose his job.
Yeah.
And that job, like, held together their whole fucking family.
Yeah.
And so he told his son to lie. Which is insane. Like, I get it. Like, this is what you want to do to go home. You're in the moment. But, like, it's nuts. Just, like,
yeah.
Just say that you raped this woman.
Yeah. It was very hard to watch. And I can imagine that it was very hard to even include that in the story. We're already at 15 minutes. So, final thoughts on first episode?
It was a lot. There was a lot that happened. All the boys were there, and there were also other crimes that were being committed. They were beating people up. They were harassing people. But, like, none of these five boys were on the tapes doing any of those crimes. So, like, they weren't even doing the petty crimes, let alone this fucking rape that happened on the other side of the goddamn park.
Yeah, like, all of the boys were, like, good boys who, like, just wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
And, like...
like, Kevin played the trumpet and Yusuf skipped a grade because he was so smart.
And the fact that the cops didn't believe him when he said that pissed me off so fucking badly. But it's fine. What part made me laugh? Oh, the funniest part, though, is hearing the lady who is the investigator, the blonde woman, say... what is wilding?
Yes.
Like wilding out. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, what is this wild?
And like the fucking word wildin' was all over the newspapers and stuff.
Because they just like, oh God, it was just so funny. Yeah. Like I knew that that was serious because they also used it in court that they were wilding. But it was just so unnecessary. They're so ridiculous. So the second episode is the trial.
Yes.
And also very hard to watch.
It
less hard, though.
The main thing that upset me was the fact that you really only saw the trials of Raymond, Yusuf, and Kevin. Anton.
Oh, yeah, Anton.
And Kevin and Corey, you saw, like, literally 30 seconds of their trial.
Yeah, which you'll notice, though, that Kevin and Corey, we saw the most of their jail time.
Yes.
Kevin, we still didn't see a ton, but we saw a little bit. So I think that was, like, on purpose.
Yeah.
But who's to say? The second thing about this episode that I wrote down in my notes was the ad that Trump took out.
Yes, I was,
for
like,
$85,000 calling for New York City to reinstate the death penalty just to murder these five boys.
Yes.
Did you
these
see
five teenage boys? And the actual, like, the actual video of him speaking from back in the day,
yeah,
about it. Like, it's, they weren't making this shit up.
No. Did you see that he doubled down?
What do you mean?
Like, someone, after this came out,
mm-hmm,
people were tweeting about it. And he responded that he, like, I'll have to look it up so I'm accurate. He probably deleted it. But it was something about, like, how he still stands by his comments about it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, it was actually in 2013.
Oh, wow. Maybe that was when this, like...
It was when the documentary came out.
Okay.
And he called it a one-sided piece of garbage. Yeah, the Central Park 5 documentary was a one-sided piece of garbage that didn't explain the horrific crimes of these young men while in the park. I want to hate these murderers, and I always will. I'm not looking to psychoanalyze or understand them. I'm looking to punish them. I no longer want to understand their anger. I want them to understand our anger. I want them to be afraid.
What the fuck? Like...
We'll try to avoid politics, yes, on this podcast, yes, but I think everyone can agree, what the fuck?
Yes, because, like, I mean, it is all their accounts, you know, but they were fucking innocent.
Yeah, you have to, like, I think...
Children, innocent children.
Sorry, the cat's being very cute while we're having this difficult discussion. Yeah, like, the thing is, I follow DNA evidence more.
Yes.
And that guy's DNA was everywhere. His DNA was on the woman. Like, that makes sense.
Yes.
And it makes sense that one person committed the crime, because that's usually how that goes.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. Because, like, he also... There was also three other cases exactly the same in the area that they didn't connect this to. And they were just like, oh, well, it was these boys.
Yeah. Because they had a great story.
Yeah.
They had, like, a fantastic way to sell papers and a fantastic way for that lawyer and that investigator to get their names big.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think the investigator started to realize, like, this is wrong. But then at the end, like, just also doubled down and was like, nah, I'm prosecuting these boys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the second episode is the trial. It's very straightforward, I would say.
Yeah, I mean.
To me, I don't understand how they were prosecuted, but we did only see hand-selected parts of the trial.
Exactly. And we
I will have to say that.
Yeah, we only saw what they wanted us to see. And also, like, the woman coming out, there was no point in that.
There really wasn't. I felt like that was a weird play. Yes. And I didn't like it at all. Also, another thing, like a general statement we should make is, like, this is a review of the show. So any of the, like, inaccuracies or dramatizations that are in the show that we might end up talking about, like, we understand that not everything in there was fact. Yeah. Like,
it's we're a just, show. It's we're not talking a about
the show. But I liked the trial. I think my favorite episodes were the first and last episode.
Okay.
Personally.
Yeah. It was hard watching the last episode, but it was a good episode.
Yeah. The last episode was like, just skips over third entirely.
Yeah. The third episode, well, we can give just like a small thing because there wasn't really a lot in the third episode. I did take notes
about the third episode.
Oh, shit.
That's where I took the most notes. Already said most of my notes.
I wanted to say, as the actor, not in real life, yeah, but the actor that played grown-up Raymond was fucking hot.
He was very good looking.
Damn.
Yeah, he was good. And then when he started dealing drugs, I was like,
I was so my sad. Guy,
stop it. Like, but I know that, like, that was how he
had to get by.
Yeah, when he was in jail too.
Yeah, like because they no one's gonna give him a job.
In the third episode, they, like, do you remember they show, like, the phone sequence of him on the phone with his dad, and you slowly see him, like,
yeah,
controlling everyone in the jail around him. So they kind of allude to him, like, doing something like that in jail. So that would be the easiest thing, going into jail at 15 and coming out of it. Yeah. Like, and when you can't get a job anywhere else, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, but that type of thing is what, like, still drives for the people who think that they did it. It's like, well, he went back to jail.
Yeah. Because that was his only option.
Yeah. And they're just like, no, that just proves he's guilty. But my other notes was just that they all served the 6 to 7 years type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then this should be in the fourth episode note. So I don't know. I didn't have any notes for the third episode.
Well, just kind of like the third episode, you see them all when they get out of jail. Like, you see a little bit of when, like, whomever comes to visit them. And then you see
Kevin's sister. I loved her.
Yes.
She was the cutest person alive.
And she had a little boyfriend.
Yeah, her little boyfriend was great. But, like, Kevin's sister and his mom and, like, some of their other family members come to visit and, like, give him a little pep talk.
Yeah.
And, like, you see all of them as children and then as adults, which is cool. I liked that.
And I think that, like, they spent the most amount of time on Antron McRae.
Yeah.
Because, like, his dad was such a big part of him getting convicted.
Yeah.
And, like, he even spoke at the trial saying that he told his son to lie. And then, like, his dad, who knows what happens to him, but he leaves and he comes back with cancer or illness or whatever. And, like, his dad is just trying to reconnect with him, and he just won't do it. And, like, I fucking get it.
Yeah, it would be really hard to after that.
Yeah, it was a sad part of the episode.
It was very sad. And I think that they, like, the one thing I will say about the third episode that I loved is they showed how difficult it is to readjust after jail.
Yes.
Because, like, jail is supposed to be this thing that reforms you to make you not go back to jail. But they don't teach you anything in jail to prevent you from going back.
Exactly. Like, there was, I don't remember who they were talking to, but it was a couple that saw one of them in the store, and they were talking to him, like, you know, they're counting on you to go back to jail.
I think that was, like, a significant couple throughout it. She's the one at the very end who, like, her husband died. And she was speaking at the rally. And
I think she's the one in the beginning who speaks at the rally on the TV.
Yeah, she's like a character that follows them all throughout as well. Yeah. I mean, the third episode was still really good because I think it did such a good job of showing them, like, grow up and readjust.
It just didn't, like, there wasn't a lot of content. It was just, like, seeing kind of what happened. Like, there wasn't anything really deep.
It was, like, little tableaus into their life. But also, like, it just would happen suddenly because, like, Anton McCrae was out of jail and then the next scene... you see him, like, with a wife who's pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, that type of thing. And it was done well, but you just want so much more.
I also loved the fact that Raymond's stepmom was Dasha Polanco from Orange is the New Black. And I was like, A, she looks hot as fuck in here.
Yeah.
But also, like, she is the same age as this guy.
Yeah. She did a great job, though.
She did. I liked it.
She did a really good job. Even though she
was a bitch.
Yeah, she was... her character was the fucking worst, though. Yes. Which is, like, when an actor can make me hate them in that role, I'm like, you're a good actor. Because
especially when you like them in a different role.
Yeah. And I, like, follow that bitch on Twitter. Like, nice. She's funny as hell. And I was, like, mad at her in that show. I was like, we're not talking right now. Thank you very much. So the fourth episode. That's the longest episode, right?
I think so. It was at least, I think it was an hour and a half. It was like movie length.
Yeah.
But it basically just followed Corey Wise.
Yeah. And I loved it. And I know it was limited series.
I hope the mic.
I hope so too, but it's so baby.
It was very baby.
I forget what I was going to say. God damn it.
It was a limited series.
It was limited series, but I wish we could have gotten an episode like that for each one of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why we couldn't, and I know why, like, artistically they did it the way they did it, but I'm just like, but I want to know.
I know. Like, I just wanted not even a full episode for each boy, but just, like, something more than from... right after they go to jail to right when they get out.
Yeah.
Like, just something in the middle that, like, made them who they were or whatever.
Yeah. It's probably also, like, really hard to relive that, so yeah. I get it, but I'm a nosy bitch.
Exactly. Basically. I want to know everything.
But my favorite part of the last episode was the officer in the second jail.
The nice officer.
The nice officer.
Oh, God, who gave him a chia pet.
Like, that, I've teared up many times throughout this television show, but that part, when they started becoming friends,
mm-hmm.
the part that made me fucking, like, tear up, like, it almost came out, but I sucked it back in.
Nice.
Was when his, which I actually wanted to mention this, too, his... sister dies,
yes.
and he hugs him. I was like,
oh my God,
I cannot. But I wanted to say, when they first, that actress first came on the screen, I was like, that's a trans actress, because I had, like, seen a lot about her recently.
Oh, really?
And I was like, she's playing, like, a guy, though. And then, like, they went through the whole thing, and I thought that that was really cool that they used an actual trans actress too,
as a trans person. Yeah.
Like, I thought that was very cool. Very woke of them.
Right.
It was a very woke television
show. Hey, it's 2019.
So, but I thought that was really cool, and that was a storyline I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and especially, like...
that late?
In the... yes, and in the 1980s, like...
yeah.
In black families, that wasn't something that happened very often.
Yeah, which, if you want an oh-no fact...
and oh no facts.
So far this year in 2019, there have been at least 11 trans black women who have been murdered.
Yep.
Because it's 2019 and that still happens. Welcome to my oh no facts. I'm so sorry.
Welcome to 2019. Basically. See, I thought I read that it was like 19, but you may
it could be,
right. be
more.
I
know that there's at least 11.
I'm checking right now. Yes, 11. You are right.
Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to say about the fourth episode?
Well, just like, just kind of like what happened in it. Like, Corey was the only person who just ended up in like prison and not juvie.
Yeah.
And he was beaten up on and sexually harassed and assaulted. And he was just, because he was so young, everyone just thought they could do whatever the fuck they wanted with him.
Yeah.
And so he basically just, he said, if I don't go into isolation, I'm going to die. And so he put himself into isolation.
And he spent so much time in isolation.
Yeah, almost his whole, like, 13 years in isolation. Which, A, makes a person go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But, like,
which they kind of showed.
Yes, definitely.
But I don't even know if that was them showing that he was crazy. I think that they were showing that's the literally the only way he could get through his time in solitary was to just reimagine not being in jail.
Like, yeah, like
reimagining how to change his fucking life before so he didn't go to jail.
Like the scene where he's with his girlfriend in the chicken shop and he decides to stay.
Yeah.
It's so sad because you're like that one little like decision just saying, yeah, I'm going to stay here with my girlfriend instead of go out with the guys. Like would have
like changed that cost his whole life.
Yeah.
And then again, being a good friend and going with your buddy to the police like station.
Yep.
And it ends up hurting you. Like
he could have just gone home.
Yeah, but instead he was a great friend. And you know the thing that really bothered me, and I know it's because they're in this horrible situation, but the way Yusef's mom treated Corey's mom,
yes, it was
at least
such
the way it
bullshit.
Was depicted, I was like, you're like, you should kind of be nice to this woman because her son kind of ended up in jail for no reason.
Yeah, because of your son, basically.
Yeah. And, I mean, we probably shouldn't, like, further push that.
Whatever.
But.
It was
also.
Just, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, you go. I was going to close it up.
I was going to say, back to the music thing. They ended on a Frank Ocean song. And nice. I was like, that's my boy. Also, just something, you'll see it if you watch it. But the boys ended up suing the state of New York for $41 million between the five of them in 2014. And then they sued New York City in 2016 for $3.6 million. In my opinion, it's still not enough money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, split between the five of them, I still don't think that's enough money. But they did get some type of financial compensation for their time in jail.
Yeah, and I know, like, if you watch it, you're going to read this at the end, but I think it's, like, it turned out to be a really good closer. Like, the ending of the show was good. They say that.
Oh, and they also, while they're doing the thing that Sarah is about to read to you, show the actual man grown up. Were you going to say that? I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
No, because they show the actor who played them as a child, and they show the grown man.
Yeah.
But right before they say that, they say that they spent in between 6 and 14 years in prisons across New York State because Corey did change to 3 or 4 different prisons.
Yeah.
And their wrongful convictions were vacated in 2002 following the New York District Attorney's investigation of the Central Park jogger case because we didn't really mention someone else came up confessed, someone who actually was in jail twice with Corey, which was a really weird coincidence.
It was.
But this other man confessed. Basically, a little bit about each person as they grew up, like, who they are now, just as kind of ends up being, instead of our feel-good Florida story, just, like, our feel-good moment of this whole thing that happened after they got out of jail. So now Antron McRae is happily married and a proud father of 6, and he lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was the first of the accused men to leave New York City. Next was Raymond Santana Jr. And he has a teenage daughter named Malia. He currently resides in Georgia, where he founded an apparel company named Park Madison NYC, named after his hometown.
Which I'm pretty sure I've heard of that brand before. Yeah. I, like, knew it was from him, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
This one is fucking nuts. Yusuf Salam lives in Georgia and is married with 10 fucking kids.
That's too many kids.
He's a published author and a public speaker, and he advocates for policy change in the criminal justice system. Kevin Richardson lives in New Jersey with his wife and two daughters. And in 2017, Bronx Prep Academy honored him with a high school diploma 28 years after his arrest at age 14, which is very nice.
It is.
And then Corey Wise is the only member who still lives in New York City, which is so weird that three of them moved to Georgia.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
And in 2015, he established and funded the Corey Wise Innocent Project Colorado Law School, offering pro bono legal counsel to wrongly convicted people.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because I think they're like... I think the statistic, there are about 100,000 people in U.S. prisons right now that are wrongfully convicted.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
Which is one too many.
It's a million too many.
But yeah, overall, I think it was a wonderful show that everyone should watch.
It was very informative.
It's very informative, and I think it gives you a peek into... Like, if you, I don't know, I'm going to get weird and political, never mind. I was going to say, I feel like it kind of shows, like, the epitome of white privilege.
Oh, 100%.
And it's very interesting, and people should watch it, especially if they don't think that they have any privilege.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, J-Bean?
I know what you mean, girl.
But yeah,
I mean, it was a good show and very informative, and because I had no idea, like, about the Central Park Five, so.
Yeah, I think I had only really ever heard, like, the name.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's all I really knew, because there's another case similar to this one, but it's, like, four little, like, white guys.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But well, it was, like, a satanic thing. I forget what they're called. But we'll have to cover them sometime.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was our first mini-sode, but we're probably gonna keep trying to do these because they're fun.
Yeah, they are. And it's fun to watch something new, and especially me because I don't watch any fucking
thing. Yeah, this is a great way to force you to watch things.
Exactly.
Ooh, the next thing we should watch should be Seven.
You're right.
Yes. Seven.
There was a scene... In something, oh, Corey and I watched The Butterfly Effect Saturday, and there's a scene where he walks into the movie Seven, and the poster with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, and I was like, I know that movie, because you've told me about it 10 times.
Yeah, we should definitely watch it. It's fucking great.
It'd be cool.
Because we're not just gonna do, like, I mean, this was still fictitious in a way.
Yeah,
but it was more dramatized, true. But it was, like, actually based on a true story, whereas Seven is not. It's loosely based on the Zodiac.
Very. We should also watch the Zodiac movie.
Yeah, we should.
With Jake Gyllenhaal.
But we'll keep doing these.
Yeah, that was it. And if you want to be featured on a future mini episode, please send us in your stories.
Yeah, and keep on binging.
Bye.